Do you have an idea for a podcast, but you don't know where to start? Maybe you're overwhelmed by all the tech or you're convinced nobody will actually listen to you. Well, I'm Shauna Game. After 9.5 years as a professional podcaster, at this show, Everyone's Talking Money, and 25 million downloads later, let me tell you the secret to a profitable podcast. It is building a solid foundation, your podcast roadmap before you launch. That's why I created the Podcaster Class, a fast-paced group cohort podcasting for profit 8-week style MBA program. The Podcaster Class is immersive, comprehensive, and insanely motivational. If you want to create a podcast, DIYing a launch is just not the way to go. In the Podcaster Class, you'll get the tools, tips, and strategies to create a podcast that resonates with listeners and one you can be proud of. Get this, 90% of podcasters never make it to episode 3. That's 2.8 million podcasters who just quit. So to be a top podcaster, you only need to publish 21 episodes, but you got to make them good. So in the Podcaster Class, I'm taking the mystery out of how to create, launch, and profit from your podcast so you can create a top 1% podcast just like this one. The May cohort is now open for enrollment. Classes start May 22nd. There are only 15 spots open. You are going to learn podcasting with me and 14 other amazing people. You can learn all the details at thepodcasterclass.com. Use code podcast when you sign up for $100 off. That's thepodcasterclass.com. I'm going to be real with you. Identity theft is on the rise, and you do not want to wake up one morning and discover that your bank account has been emptied, or you're overdue on credit cards you never even applied for. We talk about this often on the podcast, but you don't realize how much of your information is available to scammers on the internet and how susceptible you and your family are to identity theft and fraud. I know, it's scary, but now you can get your data removed with Delete Me. That's why I personally choose Delete Me. Delete Me is a subscription service that removes your personal information from the largest people search databases on the web, and in the process helps prevent potential ID theft, doxing, and phishing scams. I just started using Delete Me and I got my regular personalized privacy report. I was shocked what they found and removed. It was pages of information about me that I did not want online. Here's how it works. You sign up and provide Delete Me with exactly what information you want deleted, and their experts take it from there. I cannot tell you how relieved I felt to have Delete Me. And you know, it's also a great service for your parents or grandparents to help protect them from identity theft. Delete Me is not just a one-time service. Delete Me is always working for you, constantly monitoring and removing the personal information you do not want on the internet. Take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me, now at a special price for my listeners. Today, get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use promo code ETM at checkout. The only way you get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and enter code ETM at checkout. joindeleteme.com/ETM. Go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use code ETM for 20% off.
Here's the key to a good date, and this doesn't require money at all. Be creative and be thoughtful. If you show the other person that you are listening to what they like and you're interested in, you know, showing them your interests and are also interested in taking on their interests, I always think that your date will be a winner. So in terms of saving on the date, it's not about going to the fanciest restaurant. It's not about going to the most expensive place that you can or spending the most money. Start asking yourself, what does this other person like to do?
You're listening to Millennial Money with award-winning money expert and serial entrepreneur, Shauna Come to Game, where we flip the script on the old school approach to everything your parents never taught you about money. Each week, Shauna creates a safe space by talking with special guests from around the world about money wellness, entrepreneurship, traveling like a boss, and what makes millennials tick. Unique stories, trailblazing perspectives, tips, tricks, and everything there is to know about money. Find it all here as you uncover your money story and unlock the life you want to live. Pretty cool, right? Here's Shauna, money expert, Indiana Hoosier, and burger aficionado.
Welcome back to the show, my friend. It is so good to have you here. Okay, I will be the first to admit that Valentine's Day is most definitely a Hallmark holiday, and I've spent many a Valentine's Day myself just buried in a box of chocolates at home, pretending that my cat, Sophie, was my date. I know, slightly depressing. But showing someone you love them, even just like them, is about way more than a day. And let's be real, dating, wooing, courting, falling in love, whatever you want to call it, it can be expensive. In this episode, Kristen Myers, editor-in-chief of The Balance, is here to share the best ways to afford the cost of dating. By the way, get this, in a recent study they did at The Balance, millennials spend on average $69 for first dates. Yes, really. Kristen is also sharing how to create a perfect date for a fraction of the price, when you should talk about money with your honey, and the impacts of inflation on your wallet. Plus, we do both get a little personal sharing some of our favorite dating stories. This episode is sure to make your heart swell. I'm Shauna Compton-Game. This is Millennial Money. Let's get on with the show. Well, Kristen, I am so excited to have you back on the show. And thanks for just being super willing to get vulnerable with me and talk about this idea of dating and money in this month of love.
Of course. Thanks so much for having me.
So it would be sort of a miss to start off this episode and not talk about Valentine's Day. So do you have any big plans? I mean, this is going to air the day after Valentine's Day, but just sort of in retrospect, thinking about, are you going to be doing anything on that day?
I will. I really like to ski. And so I'll be spending the Valentine's Day kind of weekend since it's on Monday, which really sucks, I think.
It should be a holiday, right?
It really should. Or it should always be on, you know, maybe the second Friday of February, kind of like Thanksgiving, so that we all know that we can go to dinner on a Friday or a Saturday night. But I will be spending it in Maine skiing. So I like to spend my winter skiing.
That sounds very picturesque. I kind of love that idea. I'm adopting your Valentine's Day plans.
Please do. I highly recommend it for everyone, whether you are burned out or not, need a getaway or not. I always encourage everyone to go into a cabin somewhere and look out at a snowy landscape. You don't have to even be outside. You could just look at outside from the warm, cozy inside. But if you do like the outside, you know, you can go skiing, cross country or alpine. You can go snowshoeing. I've never done that, but that's an option for you. And just really enjoy, I guess, the beautiful landscape.
And you don't even have to be with anyone. I think that's the cool message I've always wanted to share about Valentine's Day. Like, yes, I understand it's a Hallmark holiday and it's about love, but why can't it also just be about loving yourself? And if that's the way you love to spend the day, then go for it.
You know, it's really, obviously I'm someone who likes to talk about being responsible with money, but I won't lie. I like gifts and I'm happy to buy them for myself if I don't have someone to buy them for me, whether that's Christmas or birthday, Valentine's Day, everyone, all the single men and women out there, get yourself something special. I mean, you love yourself. I mean, even if you don't have a boyfriend or girlfriend or partner of some sort, I highly encourage buy yourself a little something this year.
That's great. This is going to be our homework assignment for everyone listening. I love this. So The Balance recently, you guys did this whole survey on millennials and dating, and some of what you found I think is like really interesting. I just want to start here. You found that millennials on average spend about $69 for their first dates. And even to take that further, most people said that they would be willing to split the date. I mean, I have some serious opinions on this, but would love to hear from you. Like, does this $69, like, does this shock you?
It did. I had to admit and really kind of take a look at my own, I think, bias, perhaps, or even just not a narrow worldview, but I feel like I'm so used to New York, which is where I live, and how much things cost here, that I forget that elsewhere things might not be as expensive or people might not be as used to shelling out as much money. Because $69, so let's just call it $70, that will not get you very far in New York City, just if you want to go out for cocktails. I mean, you buy, you know, two or three drinks a piece and you're already well beyond that. Forget if you even want to add a meal onto that or you know, something like going to the movies, because going to the movies is, you know, $20 a ticket now, plus the popcorn and the drinks. I mean, it can get incredibly pricey. And then in addition to that, I was honestly so surprised to see millennials, because that is my cohort. They didn't just say that they were willing to let people or willing to split the cost of the date. They actually felt that people should be splitting the cost of the date. And that flies in the face, I think, of all of the conventional wisdom I have ever received growing up as someone, you know, in a heteronormative relationship about what courtship is supposed to look like. I was told, you know, the man should always pay on the date, or whoever asks the other person out should be the person paying for that date.
Well, I have to share a story. So my husband, we met on Match.com and we went on a date. I was living in Los Angeles at the time. We met in Santa Monica and he had said, well, let's just go to this pizza place. And I thought, okay, fine. No big deal. Right. But when I got there, he was like, nah, I don't really want to go to this pizza place. Like, let's go to this other restaurant that was across the street. And I'm thinking, yeah, okay. Right. So we get in the restaurant and I could tell, like, this is a fancier restaurant. Like, this is going to be a higher cost, you know. And the waitress comes over and, like, she asks for the drink order. And I'm thinking, like, what do I order? Do I order what I would normally order? Like, what do I order? So I ordered a drink that I would normally order. And, you know, in my head, because I'm a money person, I'm like adding up what dinner is costing, what the drinks are costing. And, you know, I thought, okay, I fully expect, like, we can split this. It's not a problem. Although, yes, I tend to, you know, lean more and like, yeah, if you want to take me out for a date, like, you know, I'm worth you spending some money. And so, you know, the bill comes and he takes it and he pays it. And I just, it's that moment of like feeling like, ooh, did I do the right thing? Did I not do the right thing? So I think it's really interesting that this survey found that most people were like, no, hey, we're okay with splitting the cost.
Okay, yes. But what's interesting is that they do say that they are more likely to be swayed into going on a second date if the other person does pick up the tab or pays more money, which is interesting, right? So that almost says to me that a lot of people out there are kind of having the same, I don't know if I want to call it anxiety that you're describing in that story. You know, they're out on a date and they're thinking, oh no, maybe I should split the cost of the date. I don't want to appear, you know, as if I'm expecting or that I'm entitled to the other person to pay for this. But they do like it when the other person picks up the tab and, you know, pays for the cost of the meal. And if you are spending a little bit more cash, I guess it looks a little bit nicer to whoever you're taking out because they are more likely to want to go out with you again. At least that's what the respondents said. So we were trying to even figure some of those things that might be going out. And I think what you're describing in that story is a little bit what we see happening now, that there is this measure of, do I pull out my wallet or do I not? Which is interesting because you don't think that money would play that early into a relationship, but it does, even from the very first date.
Yeah. I mean, I was just thinking that too, like from the very first like meeting, even when you're deciding where you're going to go, are you going to go to dinner? Are you just going to go to coffee? Like, what are you going to do? Like, there's already sort of a money conversation that isn't being talked about, but is sort of existing in that space. So I had this first date with my husband on a Friday, and Saturday I had another date with another guy. and we went to this bar. We were just gonna have a drink. I sound like a complete lush on this episode, but I swear I don't drink this much. So we were gonna have a drink, and then the waitress came over and she said, you know, can I get you something to drink? And he ordered a drink first, and I was like, okay, you know, I mean, I'm a feminist, but like, you could at least let me order first. So he orders first, and then he looks at me and he says, oh, I guess I'll buy her a drink. And I thought, whoa, okay. Date's not only over.
What?
But I can't believe you would actually. So it is really interesting, like all these nuanced just bits of dating, and they're all sort of circled around money, more or less.
I'm honestly a little bit flabbergasted, because what was the point of asking you out if they weren't going? I mean, the server just asked if you wanted to order a drink. I mean, the bill wasn't there as yet. It wasn't pay as you go, I'm assuming. So that's such a strange response. But money is coming into play so early. And I think that when you were talking about that, the kind of date that you ask someone on kind of indicates the financial choice that, or the financial investment that you are willing to make when it comes to finding love. And I think that that does signal to the other person something about you. Right. You know, I know a lot of people in New York love to do coffee dates. I personally am not into them. I don't drink coffee. So anytime
so there's that,
a coffee
right?
date, I say, I don't drink coffee. And they say, well, I can get you some tea. And I think I could just stay at home and put a bag of tea into hot water and we could just have a phone conversation. I don't have to leave my home so that you can shell out, you know, $1.50. I mean, because that's the bare minimum that someone is going to be doing when you're having a coffee date. I feel like, you know, put in some effort. It doesn't even have to cost money, but put some effort in. And I think that people do associate with money spent with effort. I do think that when people pay more, right, it says something to the other person, you know, oh, maybe they like me more. Right. Maybe they're interested, or maybe they're willing to put in this investment, right? We hear a lot when it comes to dating, and particularly when the cost of dating is high, that it's an investment people are making, you know, into another person. And I guess, you know, Gen Z millennials are far savvier than I think some of their predecessors, because we talk about investments now all the time. I mean, just looking at the markets and how much young people are investing, people want a return on their investment. And if they're going to spend money on love, well, then I guess they better be at least ending up in a relationship or walking down the aisle.
Right. I love that. And so thinking about those terms, if $69 is kind of the average, we'll call it $70 is sort of the average. What are your thoughts about building dating into our budget? Like, how do we actually incorporate that in so that, you know, we do have the cash to go on these dates, depending on how many dates that we actually really do want to go on?
I felt personally proud of, you know, my fellow millennials and even the younger cohort to see that 75% are actually putting dating into their budgets, which is great. Because if dating is an expense, or going out on dates is something that you're going to do with some sort of regularity, then it should be a line item, you know, in your budget. I mean, we found that a quarter of daters are spending $250 or more each month on dating.
Wow.
And that's a variable cost, but we already know that there's variable costs that we all put into our budgets every single month, like paying for groceries. I imagine if you're dating very often, maybe you're spending a little bit less in the grocery category. But I mean, it is one of those variable expenses that really should be considered every single month. Maybe do you date more in the winter? Do you date more in the summer? I mean, because otherwise you could end up spending a lot of money on dating. And at the end of the month, you're looking at your bank account wondering, where did all of your money go? Well, it went into those steak dinners or the buying cocktails or, you know, maybe many, many, many bags of tea.
Many bags of tea. Yes. Actually, I was talking to one of my friends and she said that she was actually dating in 2020, 2021. Yes, in pandemic times, but she was doing a lot of her dates virtually. And she actually loved that because she can make her own meal at home, have her own cocktail. And like, there wasn't that awkwardness around who's paying, around where are we going. I mean, obviously you're not face to face, so there's a lot of things that you don't pick up, you know, on a Zoom or FaceTime date. But she actually said that she was saving a lot of money from not going on these dates.
I imagine that you would. And you can also wear, just like, you know, the rest of us that are working from home, maybe a nice shirt and you can just wear shorts or some sweatpants on bottom. A lot of people, yeah, are continuing to date throughout the pandemic. And I mean, maybe worryingly or not, a lot of the daters that we asked, we were curious to know if the pandemic was impacting their dating, if it was impacting their finances, and if when they went out on a date, they were considering the pandemic, and they weren't.
Really?
I mean, there was no concerns about being vaccinated. Only a very small percentage, 15%, actually said that they would not date someone if they hadn't received a vaccine against COVID-19. So for most of them, they were really shrugging their shoulders at the pandemic and were saying, hey, if you're vaxxed or not, it doesn't matter. We can still, I guess, go out on a date. Now, I do know people were doing socially distanced dates, going to the park, people got creative. And I think that that creativity has allowed people to save a little bit of money. And we talk a lot about working from home and how that's going to change, you know, worker habits going forward. I don't think we've asked ourselves enough how the pandemic is going to change dating habits going forward. If people are more okay with, you know, just going to the park and going on a walk and trying to get to know someone without an actual activity that costs money. You know, I will be curious to see how people are dating in 2 years. Hopefully we will not be in the pandemic then. So let's just call it now. We will not be in the pandemic in 2 years. I'll be interested to see how much people are dating and how they're dating in 2 years compared to how they're dating now.
The weather is getting warmer. I'm so excited, and it is time to say goodbye to all those jackets and sweaters and hello to the shorts and t-shirts. I wanted to update my summer workout wardrobe for the long haul without, you know, spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince, and I am in love. Quince is your go-to place from everything from premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14 karat gold jewelry, and so much more. The best part of all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes those savings on to you. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. Okay, I bought the dreamiest pair of workout leggings and a bright pink workout top to match. Honestly, ladies, I gotta tell you, these leggings you need. The price cannot be beat, and I feel like a million bucks wearing this cozy workout-friendly outfit. I've worn it for like 5 days straight. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/etm for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/etm to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/etm. When it comes to financial advice, you gotta trust the source. It's why you listen to this podcast. When I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. Before NerdWallet, I was paying for vacations all wrong. I was missing out on miles. I didn't even know I was leaving on the table. Now I've got a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? I don't know, maybe that fancy hotel upgrade that you have always been dreaming about. Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet. Finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. In those moments when money is just not moving as fast as your dreams, Earnin provides the financial momentum you need to keep moving forward. Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. You just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then you access up to $100 a day as you work, and you can leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. I honestly would use Earnin in lots of different ways, but what's on my mind recently is I need a night out. I need some good tacos to sip on a few virgin margaritas and celebrate you all helping this podcast earn 26 million downloads.
Make earning a part of your financial routine and join Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, when I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability and security. Gives me a lot of peace of mind. Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in Talkin' Money under podcast when you sign up. It will really help the show. Talkin' Money under podcast. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank, subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank & Trust, member FDIC.
And I would also imagine that just things that are happening in the economy around like inflation right now, things are more expensive. So even if you did budget a certain amount for a date, when you go to actually have that date and pay those prices, like some of those things are really expensive.
So this is such a good point. And in addition to doing this survey, we actually have been checking inflation and checking to see how it's impacting every single holiday. So, you know, when we chatted, we were talking about inflation and how it's impacting things like Christmas and it's impacted Thanksgiving. Well, we also checked on how it's impacting Valentine's Day. And you're absolutely right. Everything is much more expensive. I mean, just for reference, we got the latest inflation figures out today, up 7.5% from last year. And just looking at some of the items that are popular, you know, items to buy for Valentine's Day, diamonds, 15% more costly. Roses, 54% more expensive, Shauna. And if you thought that you were going to save money by cooking dinner at home, you won't. Because, I mean, steak is 63% more expensive. And if you wanted to add some turf to that surf and turf, lobster is 27% more expensive. So you are not going to have any savings, at least in terms of the grocery store. So maybe skip making the romantic meal this year and go out for dinner instead, or DoorDash or Uber Eats or something.
Or like a nice box of mac and cheese, right?
Yeah. You can always rely on that to be a cheaper, although I bet the prices are up on that. I haven't checked how Kraft mac and cheese is holding up right now, but I it's probably more expensive now than it was before. But yeah, everything is just going up. Love is painful to the heart and to the wallet, Shauna, I'm telling you.
It really is. We can put an exclamation mark on that. And every year I tell my husband, look, I love that you're very sweet, that you want to buy me flowers around Valentine's Day, but I'm a money person. And so I know how much they're marked up around Valentine's Day, especially now. So how about we just take that money from the roses and put it somewhere else? And every year he nods and says, yeah, okay. Then he comes back with the roses. So, I just have to go along with it.
Tell him to buy you a rose NFT or something. Ooh. That will really be the gift that keeps on giving.
I love that idea, right? We can all tell our significant others, like, let's buy things like stocks and NFTs and things that are just going to appreciate versus die and we're going to have to throw out.
I mean, at least when it comes to inflation, we have seen the markets outpacing the pace of inflation. So that money that you are going to invest in the market, at least based on the returns that we saw in 2021, are going to do better than if it just sat there in your savings account or was, you know, used on more expensive or pricier flowers that will, to your point, die in about a week.
Yeah, I hate to be so sort of stating the obvious there, but it's true, right? So another thing that really jumped out at me from the survey I thought was really interesting that, I mean, this is just so counterintuitive to me, but that income is the least important factor in choosing a person to date. And the reason why I say this is counterintuitive is because we all kind of grow up and we're like, oh, we're going to marry somebody like super wealthy. And, you know, we want to be in a relationship that's got everything together. And then what this survey is showing is that we just don't really care. Maybe that changes somewhere along the line, but I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, I thought that income and wealth would be a little bit higher up on the scale, but no, looks and personality are still the two most popular things that people are looking at, which I guess in a way is a really good thing that when it comes to priorities, people are still saying, you know what, because they didn't say that they don't care about those things. It's just that when they rank them compared to everything else, they fall to the bottom of the list. So I think it kind of follows the same formula that we all do experience. You first see someone on the street and or in a bar, or I mean, maybe in a Tinder app or something like that. And the first thing that you can see is what they look like. And then you start talking to them and it's how do you interact with this person? And then you go further and further down the list, you know, checking off your boxes. And then you do eventually come to that point of what's your income? What kind of wealth do you have? What's your education? And then people start to make decisions once they've, you know, ticked off looks, ticked off personality. So looks is still going to be the number one thing. So unfortunately, you can't buy your way into love. It looks like people still want to be attracted to their partners.
Makes sense. I agree. And I also was thinking about this as you were sending me all of these like fun stats. Like I would imagine that it's really fun to put these surveys together at The Balance. Like what sparks your idea on creating a survey like this?
My team laughs at me because they've literally witnessed light bulbs going off over my head when we're having conversations. Look, I think it's part of what makes finance, I don't want to say fun, that's such a cliche, but really interesting because it intersects with everything that we do. And so normal conversations that we're having at work about money kind of spark these questions that we have about what other people are thinking. And at the time, we've been affectionately calling this our cuffing season survey because it was the start of cuffing season, you know, when people decide to find a partner for the fall and for the winter. And I was, you know, we were talking about how are people approaching dating this year and how are they approaching their finances when it comes to dating? Are they spending a lot of money on dating apps and how many dating apps are they on? And by the way, the answer to that question is about $30 a month they're actually spending on, really? On going on dating apps. Yeah. Gone are the days where people would say, oh, I'm not going to spend any money on Tinder or Bumble or Hinge or whatever else is out there. People and younger people are very happy to shell out $5, $10 per app, and they're on several, you know, to find romance. So that's where the impetus for this survey came about. But generally speaking, anytime we do a survey or put out research, it's because we're having these conversations ourselves and we just decide to, you know, ask others what they're also thinking about it.
It's so interesting. This intersection of anything having to do with love and money, I think is such an interesting conversation because there is so much that is not talked about, even if you're just on dates. I had a friend the other day send me a text and she said, you know, I'm going on my third date with this guy. I really like him, but I have all of this shame around money and I think he makes more money than I do. And what do I say if he asks me, what do I do and how much money I make? Like, I mean, it's just question after question after question. And she just got herself in like such an anxiety spiral that by the end of the conversation, she was like, well, I don't even know if I want to go on the date anymore. And so I think it's really interesting, like talking about this and the fact that money is this integral part, even from the very beginning.
That is so true. And it's something that we don't talk about enough and we need to, because what's the number one cause of divorce in this country? It's always money. It always comes down to money. What do they say when you're getting married? Talk to your partner about money. Find out, you know, even before you're ready to walk down the aisle and hopefully before you even have gotten to the point of engagement, like you should know how much debt your partner has. If they have good credit or bad credit, you know, I say all the time, and I tell so many people this, who you marry will actually be one of the biggest financial decisions that you will ever make. And so it is important to start talking about money and thinking about money, even from the very beginning of us dating someone. Doesn't mean that on a first date that we need to, you know, drill into someone's personal finances, finding out, you know, how much debt they have or what their credit score is. I would think that that's a little bit too invasive for a first date. But at some point in your relationship, you are going to want to have that conversation. And talk about future and potential earnings and what are your personal finance goals? Do you invest? What are your investment goals? What are your money goals? What are you, you know, hoping for in the next 10 years and 50 years when it comes to your money? And are we aligned on those paths? I think that would save so many people a lot of time and a lot of, I guess, maybe heartache or trouble a little bit later on down the line if they are willing to be vulnerable and have those conversations, because they do need to be had.
That's a great. I'm sorry, but I have the best dog ever. Her name is Winnie Stardust. She is a mini golden mountain doodle full of life, and I would do just about anything to keep her happy, healthy, and safe. Today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program. Your pet is part of your family and you want to do the best for them. But vet bills can really add up. We jokingly keep telling Winnie she needs to get a job to pay for her vet bill. That's why you should check out pet insurance. And with ASPCA Pet Health Insurance, you can focus on the care your pet deserves and cover what matters most. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customized accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping to ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are. Because vet bills can really add up, especially when you are least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim, and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independent American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer, is not engaged in the business of insurance. Okay, friend, I want to know, what are your money goals this year? Are you saving to buy a house or maybe a wedding or a dream vacation to somewhere tropical? If that's you, please, please take me with you. Or maybe you want to just grow your emergency fund because, let's be real, life is expensive. I want to make sure you reach your goals, so you need Monarch. That's why the Wall Street Journal named it the best app for growing your savings. Monarch is the top-rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. You can create custom budgets, track progress towards your financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/etm. Here's what I love. Monarch is the most customizable budgeting app. You can change the layout of your dashboard. You can go between light and dark mode. You can create custom budgets and notifications. You can set up all of these automatic rules for your transactions and notifications, and so much more. Monarch is obsessed with constantly improving their product. Get this. They release updates every 2 weeks, and they even allow customers to submit suggestions, vote on requested features, and view the product roadmap. This, my friend, is totally original. Plus, they will never sell your data to third party or show you ads. I think that's really important. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it is the top-rated personal finance app. And now, listeners of this show get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/etm. That's monarchmoney.com/etm for your extended 30-day free trial.
Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of the Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to the Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
Great idea. I love talking about goals because I think it takes a little pressure off the numbers, and it's more of a positive spin thinking about goals. So I love that you bring that up. And I really want to leave everyone with maybe some ideas. I know we've talked about a few of them, but some ideas of how to date without breaking the bank. Do you have any tips on just how we can have awesome dates this year without going into debt, without maybe, you know, feeling all of this anxiety over we need to spend $70? I mean, other than, you know, some of the obvious things that we won't talk about, but we'll just keep it PG. Are there any affordable ways to really do this dating thing?
Okay. So Shauna, I'm going to tell you about one of the best first dates that I've ever been on with a man who is now a friend, but several years ago. It was in New York, and he asked me what my favorite kind of sandwich was. And I told him.
And which is what? We have to know.
I think it was a roast beef sandwich, which has changed, by the way.
Oh,
my
tastes
have, you know, matured in the sandwich department. But this was back when I was like 24, 25. I think I said a roast beef sandwich with lettuce and whatever else. Cheese, because I love cheese. And when he picked me up on the date, and he had all these, you know, like supplies with him. And it turns out that we went to his favorite part of Central Park, and he made a picnic for us with, you know, he had the sandwiches that he made for himself and for me. He got my favorite kind of chips, which is salt and vinegar. That has not changed because they are the best. And then afterwards, he knew that my favorite museum in New York is the Museum of Natural History. That also hasn't changed. I do love, you know, the Met and the MoMA, but I love the Museum of Natural History. And it turns out that through his job, and actually many corporations have this kind of arrangement with a lot of the museums around the city, he was able to score, I think, free tickets, actually, to the Museum of Natural History.
Nice.
And he must not have spent more than $12 on, you know, the lunch meats and the breads, some things that he, of course, already owned, like ketchup and mustard he already had at his house. And it wasn't an expensive date at all. Here's the key to a good date. And this doesn't require money at all. Be creative and be thoughtful. If you show the other person that you are listening to what they like and you're interested in, you know, showing them your interests and are also interested in taking on their interests, I always think that your date will be a winner. So in terms of saving on the date, it's not about going to the fanciest restaurant. It's not about going to the most expensive place that you can or spending the most money. Start asking yourself, what does this other person like to do? And then figure out a way and perhaps be creative and show them that you've been listening to them and that you are interested in them in your date choice.
That sounds like a great first date. I'm sorry that it didn't work out, but
we were better off as friends, but it was a good date. It was a great date.
He definitely nailed the ambiance. I mean, you know, way to go, right?
Picnics are always, I tell everyone, I love a good picnic date. I mean, it is the easiest way to be more memorable. You save money, you're outside. You can take advantage of really good weather. Museums are always a great idea because they sometimes allow you to pick how much you're going to pay. So there's so many, honestly, great options out there. And even you can get cute and do virtual dates, even like your friend was doing. And my friend went on a virtual date recently. And what he did was he really likes wine and picked out this really nice bottle of wine and actually sent her the same bottle to her house so that they could enjoy, you know, the same bottle of wine together while they sat and talked about, you know, everything under the sun. So there's definitely ways to save money on dating. I think it just takes a little bit of time and thought and creativity.
I love that story. That's so fantastic. Well, hopefully we have inspired at least a few listeners to, you know, think about dating and money and love and how we talk about all of this. And I know I'm going to be picturing you skiing now. That's where I have you now, in this ski chalet, maybe with some hot cocoa. I don't know. It depends on depends on if we do the Coco or not. But I would love for you to tell everyone if they want to dig in and they want to read more about this survey and about all the other kind of cool surveys you guys come up with at The Balance, where do they go?
Well, head on over to thebalance.com or you can find us on Twitter at The Balance.
It is true. Dating is only getting more and more expensive. So I really want to challenge you to just think outside of the box with everything around love and money. Figure out some fun but low-cost dates. Even if you're married, it's a great activity to do. And then when you're dating, I want you to talk about money way before it feels comfortable to do so. As Kristen said, money is one of the single factors to divorce or even just a relationship progressing forward. So don't be afraid to get on the same page money-wise while you're also getting on the same page love-wise. Hey, if you enjoyed this episode, do me a favor, share it with a few friends and family members today, anyone who you think needs to hear a little extra message around love and money. As always, you can head to the show notes for all the links to our episode guest, as well as the amazing sponsors that make this podcast possible. I will see you right back here in a few days for a brand new episode.
Hey, you. Yes, you. Before you go, we want to say thanks for listening to this episode of Millennial Money. For all the links, tags, and ads you've heard on today's episode, check out the show notes or go to mmoneypodcast.com, where you'll find more episodes to share with your friends. While you're at it, leave us a review and make sure to subscribe wherever you listen so you don't miss out on all the money tips and tricks that will take you from a millennial regular to a millennial money expert. See you back here in a few days for the fresh new episode.